Welcome to Organized Chaos. Along with Rex Ryan, here's Bart Scott.
Welcome to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott. Rex Ryan will be joining me in just a few minutes to recap the entire week four around the league. But let's start with the game of the century, the game of the season, the game that as soon as the schedule makers made it, we were anticipating as the prodigal son comes back home and lives up. Does the game live up to the expectations? Not quite. But if you're a defensive savant like myself, you can appreciate great defensive play. The weather played a big role in it. As you know, you think about wet balls, you think about taking, you know, passes down the field, running the ball, everything becomes a bit tougher in bad weather. Nick Foles misses a 56-yarder that would have won the game and really highlighted what a great performance it was by Mac and Cheese or Mac Jones, which I have to put some respect on his name, because it's hard for you to ask a young man to come in and go throw for throw with Tom Brady. But you got to tip your hat off to Josh McDaniels and what he was able to do, devising a great game plan. I understand that Tampa really was without any of his starting corners or defensive backs. Richard Sherman comes in. He played admirably, but you know they understood what they were going to get out of him. He was a guy that struggled a little bit in man-to-man coverage, really doesn't have his sea legs and timing underneath him to challenge guys at the line of scrimmage. Mac and Cheese took the advantage of the fact that he was playing off the ball. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, you talk about the blueprint, you know, you have to ask yourself, did Bill Belichick just put out a blueprint of how to slow down this potent offense? Understanding that it was no Gronk, Cameron Brake and OJ the Juice Man is good enough at the tight end position. They're elite tight ends. But Tom Brady and that chemistry, you talk about that nonverbal communication, he doesn't seem to be on the same page with Brady and Howard, even though this is their second year together, as he is with Gronk. You know, Antonio Brown missed it pivotal. They went for the juggler. You know, Antonio Brown missed a ball that he normally would come up with. But that's not the story. The story to me is the fact that Mac Jones was able to be so efficient at one point going for 19 in a row, you know, going for 20, he missed it just a bit. And this is really all you can ask for. If you're Bill Belichick, all you could have asked for was an opportunity to win the game in the fourth quarter. Now, I think this is a game where both sides can be happy, right? Tom Brady is happy and elated that he got the victory and he got the W, but he can't be happy with the way in which they played. When you think about Mac Jones and his team, maybe this can propel them, you know, going forward. But the reality is, in this division, now they're 1-3. They have a tough schedule coming up. They got the Jets, but they also have the Dallas Cowboys. And the way the Dallas Cowboys have looked, you may be able to pencil in another loss there. That'll give them four losses, you know, and, you know, so this team's going to have to come together. Eventually, they're going to get Stephon Gilmore, you know, and this kid is going to have to start pushing the ball down the field just a little bit. I think, you know, he proved that, listen, if you continue to try and give me the same dose, A-gap pressures, I'll figure it out. So credit to Josh McDaniels for just getting this kid developed and getting him ready to go. You know, this kid was 31 for 40. You talk about efficient, 275 yards, only one interception. You know, I think he did his job. They really miss James White. You talk about some of the turnovers, which always happens in this type of weather, right? You know, but you look at what happened is, you know, Jacoby Myers goes off for 8 for 70. And it's one of those drag out tough games. You talk about the Patriots, you talk about being one dimensional. You know, you look at 275, you're like, wow, man, this was a great night for this offense. Minus 1 yard rushing. You have to have balance in this league. And I understand that Tampa is a tremendous run-stopping defense, but you got to be able to, you know, at least make them have to play honest. They didn't have to do that. But listen, at the end of the day, these guys had a chance to win the game, and that's all you can ask for. Tom Brady's going to have to go back to the drawing board as, you know, they're going to have to devise some ways to really attack teams when they come out with seven defensive backs. And, you know, most of these backs, you think about Kyle Duggar, who's a safety, you know, that's somebody in the box that's not big enough to really play in the box, but big enough to not be just a total mismatch. You know, so all in all, you know, I stayed up late. It was a decent game. I can appreciate the chess match. And ultimately, at the end of the day, Tom Brady, which we all anticipated, you know, got the victory, but it was much closer than we would have anticipated. Next up, me and Rex are going to dive into all the 1 p.m. games And eventually we'll get into the 4 o'clock games. Week four did not disappoint, even though the nightcap wasn't what we expected. Oh, man, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. So that's coming up next on Organized Chaos.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back. Welcome to Organized Chaos, the fourth edition. I don't know if I'm going to do this every damn week, Rex. But listen, this is the fourth quarter. October, we're into the second quarter of the season. I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan. This is Organized Chaos. Let's go. The biggest storyline of the day is finally somebody has had to go. And we didn't know who it was going to be today. But, you know, you got both New York teams getting a W. That's always a big thing. Who was the more impressive quarterback today? Zach Wilson and his off schedule, off platforms, playing street ball, or Danny Dimes, who looked efficient and threw for over 400 yards. Who you want to get a praise to first, Rexy?
You know who I'm going to give it to. I'm going with my son. Daniel Jones, I know I gave up on him, but I still love him. You know, I remember my old man gave up on me when I got thrown in the slammer for getting in a fight or something. You know what? He still loved me. I still love Daniel Jones. But no kidding, like Bart, I mean, this dude threw for over 400 yards. And finally, hey, guess what? Saquon Barkley is still a good player. Finally, they used him in the passing game. So I got to, you know, I've criticized Joe Hard Guy and tough guy, whatever. But Joe Judge, got to give him some credit. He gets a win here, albeit not great. But you know what? Hey, these are overtime games. Both Jet teams win in overtime. But Daniel Jones, I mean, aren't you impressed with the kid or not?
Well, you know, I'm a believer. I picked Daniel Jones, a.k.a. Junior Whopperhands, to be the breakout player of the year. When you talk about – when I looked at all his splits, everything is there. And it's not because he's been playing bad. It's the team hasn't been able to really play well around him. Jason Garrett, give him a lot of credit, right? We thought that he was going to get ran out of town, especially he was going to be the sacrificial lamb if this offense couldn't put up more points. You're talking about going into an emotional environment – in the Big Easy, after they've been not able to be there, not been able to play within that stadium since the Hurricanes, and all he did was come out and show a lot of grit. To your point, Saquon Barkley, listen, he's not doing as well running the football. I think he's getting more trust in that knee, but we know putting him in space, giving him an opportunity to kill you on the receiving part is something that he can do, because he's going to win those battles against most safeties and especially against most linebackers. So shout out to those guys for coming out. And Kenny Galladay, who this week had a lot of criticism. Guys were questioning his signing. They were saying, listen, why can't you get the big explosive plays? That's what you were brought here. And he was kind of, you know, agitated with it. All he did was go for 6 for 116. Danny Dimes is playing at a high level. And if this defense can just step up and start playing to their baseball or football card, like we like to say, then I'm not going to say that they're anywhere in the same stratosphere as the Dallas Cowboys, but why not them? Why can't they, you know, win some games, you know, get a couple underneath their belts and just be there at the end to try and get in the wild card? Hell, they're letting everybody else in.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And look, let's face it, Philly stinks. The Washington football team, they should be the Senators or whatever the hell, you know, baseball team, the way they're playing defense. I mean, they stink. So why not the Giants? At least they're competitive. Joe, tough guy, man. I mean, let's face it. The Giants on paper are better than those two teams. And you're right, Bart. You know, they can't hang with Dallas right now. But look, Dallas usually, you know, what happens with Dallas? Oh, they start listening to all the people praise them and do all that kind of stuff. All of a sudden, they start believing, and they can't win. So we'll see if they end up folding like they normally do. But it's a big win for the Giants. And Daniel Jones, this is not the only game he's played well. He played really well in the last 2 weeks. So good for him. Shout out to them for sure.
Let's go to the other side of that game as well, because when you look at it, I can't figure out this New Orleans Saints team, right? I can't figure them out. I don't know if I want to buy into them, if I believe that Jameis Winston is back. But you talk about, you know, losing two in a row now at this point. You know, was the first game just an admiration when they went out, and did they just catch Green Bay slipping? Because I don't really know what to make of this team. You talk about playing at home, the Big Easy, supposed to be, you know, the Superdome supposed to be being a home field advantage. You talk about one of the best home field advantages in all the sports, and they come out and they lay an egg. You know, they allow them to come back. This defense is supposed to be elite, one of the best parts of their unit. I know no Lattimore there, and that's a huge, you know, that's a huge thing. But, man, like, what's the real team?
Yeah, I think right now that team just looks like an average football team right now. I mean, that's it. Until they prove otherwise, that's kind of how they play. And look, you're right. I mean, look, first week one, they destroyed Aaron Rodgers and company. Why? Because they couldn't get off the press. Lattimore and company, they did a great job in man coverage that day. But look what Daniel Jones just did in New Orleans. I mean, how do you not get, you know, defend your home turf? You're right, Bart. First game played in back in New Orleans, the Big Easy. I don't know, man. They must have had too much jambalaya or something. But that team, it's, you know, the Saints, you know. But sometimes when you lose a player like Drew Brees, all right, when your player is your best guy, your best practice player, are they getting the same commitment from the other players they got when Drew Brees was there?
Yeah.
I highly question it.
Well, we have to say no Michael Thomas, no Michael Thomas. So, listen, I'll say, listen, that makes a huge difference. He's arguably the best wide receiver in the game when healthy. But now let's now let's go to the cardiac planes. I don't know what the hell to call them, Rex. Listen, I've never been so frustrated, so exhausted. You know, everybody that knows, I cover Jets pre and post. I mean, this team frustrates me to no end, man. I'm happy that they got the win, but man, this should have happened a long time ago. I mean, listen, you talk about playing with no Julio Jones, no AJ Brown. And it's just like, it just frustrates you that the fact that they can't find ways how to just close games out. This is not a very smart football team right now, but I think this defense is playing well. I know at the end of the day, it looks like, you know, King Henry went off, but that wasn't the story, right? They were continuing to being able to lay him down. He never really had any big runs. It was just kind of like a battle of attrition. And finally, Zach Wilson in the second half start, you know, making big plays, but it's because it was off schedule plays. They don't make any big plays, Rex, on schedule. Everything is backyard football. I don't know if you remember. Well, you remember. Of course, when I say I don't know if you remember. I mean, it reminds me of Ben Roethlisberger when, you know, early in his career, he only could read one read. And if it wasn't, the read wasn't there, he just played backyard football and just threw it up. And this time, you know, this week, they were able to make the plays. You know, in the earliest weeks, we've been seeing that those have been turnovers and interceptions. This week, you know, the same thing make you laugh, make you cry. But I just can't figure this team out on the offensive side of the ball because LaFleur was brought in to run the football. That's probably the worst thing that they do.
Yeah, they can't run the ball at all. But, you know, the thing is, we did see the difference when Jamison Crowder played. A slot receiver is usually your best friend as a quarterback. He certainly helped out. He had a big day. But Zach Wilson, now you're seeing the guy that I talked about. I think he's the most talented player at that position since Joe Namath for the Jets, and I truly believe that. Look, I want the play makes. The ball is it's a poor snap, gets snapped way behind him. He picks the thing up, calm as can be, fires a dart down the field for like a 30-yard game. And then the other one, when he's got poised outside the pocket, he looks like an old pro. He's signaling the guy to go down the field, and then he launches one deep for a touchdown. Like, it's this kid, I'm telling you, we just got to hang in there, Jet fans. We got to hang in there. But this kid, there's going to be growing pains. But this kid, in my opinion, is going to be the real deal. It's just, when is it going to happen? And the fact that you're right, Bart, they need to get – hey, a better running game, we get it. Runs and completions, and then all of a sudden play defense. Now, look, that defense, you're giving them a pass. They have over 450 yards in this game, yet they had 7 sacks. So if I'm going to say a Jekyll and Hyde team, I see it on their defense as well. 7 sacks is phenomenal. I know you're going to back up tackles and stuff for Tennessee, no receivers, but 7 sacks is still 7 sacks. So give them credit in those things, 450 yards. We got a little cleanup to do on that defense as well.
But here's the crazy thing, Rex. The defense was dominating. I'm telling you, it's so weird when I looked up at the final score. Let me tell you what it was. They probably had 200 yards all on screen passes. I'm like, these got to be the dumbest football players I've seen in my life. They're trying to – you cannot get a sack on a screen pass, man. It's damn near impossible. And I'm watching them. It's like 3rd and 28. 3rd and 28, Rex. They give up 3rd and 21. They give up 21 yards. They ran 5 screen passes. I'm telling you, Rex, I'm not over-exaggerating. Probably for 130 yards simply because of that, because they couldn't push the ball down the field. But it's just like this team is so undisciplined and so unsmart, not understanding formations and recognizing 3-by-1 backside screen all the time, man. But I tell you what, you know, they play hard and you got to tip your hat. Maybe this is something that they can clean up. They got Atlanta next week and maybe they can figure some stuff out, man.
Remember, but what we say too, on a screen pass, man, that center won't lie to you. All of a sudden, you
center back, same direction.
Direction with that back, go get him because it's a green. And defense alignment, sometimes when you're having success rushing a passer, you want to be part of that sack pack. and all that, and all of a sudden you lose your mind. Like, you think you're Warren Sapp and you've had one sack your whole career. Trust me, it's a screen if you feel like that. They got to do a better job of that for sure, Bart. You're right.
I tell you what, Rex, I did not know that the Carolina Panthers signed Michael Vick, or should I call him Michael Slick? Because Sam Darnold, all of a sudden, it's a touchdown machine, man. Like, we knew that Danny Dimes was mobile. Who knew that this guy was like the RPO slash, you know, in the space killer? This dude has five touchdown rushes in the first four games. This dude's a machine. And listen, he is every week he's telling Jet fans that it was more about the Jets than it was about him. Even though he falls short, this game was a lot closer, you know, until a couple of costly turnovers and some explosive plays by Dak. I tell you what, I think and I believe now that this Carolina defense is legit and for real. When they get J.C. Horn back and when C.J. Henderson really, you know, starts to learn this defense, they're going to be tough to beat, man, because when McCaffrey comes back, I think if they play with McCaffrey and they're able to have J.C. Horn and Henderson back and they play this game in the playoffs, I don't know if it goes to Dallas' side.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. But Sam Darnold, you know what he reminded me of, is Josh Allen. All of a sudden, now he's, hey, I'm going to run in the red zone. I'm going to produce, you know, touchdowns in the red zone. Look, I was not a believer of this guy because I saw all those Jet games. Is it more of the Jets? Maybe, but you're right. He acted, but I'm just telling you, running the football in there is the worst thing that can happen to a defense. It breaks your back, breaks your spirit. And again, this dude's got five touchdowns. Is it Josh Allen, Cam Newton? I don't know, but Sam Darnold, who the hell saw this coming?
But somebody simplified it for him, Rex, because now he doesn't think as much. He sees cover one, backs are turned, and if you're not disciplined in your rush lanes, he takes off. And that breaks the defensive coordinator back because they're saying, well, do I waste a guy to spy him and leave these receivers, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, these guys open in the back? And the answer has been no, we're going to give it to him. And Dak Prescott really showed something this today too, because he showed that, hey, he's not afraid to run. I think he's getting more confidence in that ankle. And he's saying, you know what, I believe in it. I trust that the screws are going to hold. And right now I can argue that maybe the Dallas Cowboys look like the best team or one of the best teams, you know, now that the Rams got demolished. It looks like maybe they could be one of the top five teams in the NFC, and it's not even close.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think Carolina might be there eventually too.
Hey, Rex, talking about young quarterbacks, man. You talk about going into this week, we had four young quarterbacks all 0 for right now, looking for their first wins. And guess what? Three of them got them, and none bigger and none better than I think Justin Fields, who had arguably probably the worst performances of the year out of all the young quarterbacks. You know, he came back. We knew that going against Detroit was going to be a soft landing, missing two of their corners. He didn't disappoint. What did you see in the young man, and what do you think about him?
Yeah, well, first off, like I said going into the game, that he looks like a Maserati with four flat tires because they wouldn't do anything, you know. But now, how smart of a game plan. Look, I've been killing Nagy because his performance as a coach last week was historically bad. Having Justin Fields get sacked 9 times, he did nothing to help him. Well, this game, what's he do? He throws 17 times. How about that? He's trying to win the game with this kid. And look, he made some nice plays during this game. He really did. But good for him. I will say this. When I think about the worst performances ever in the history of a rookie quarterback, remember what happened to Eli Manning?
Remember that? I do. Way to introduce him to the league, Rex.
Remember that, Bart? We killed him at a 0.0 quarterback rating or something. But Justin Fields had the same kind of day Eli had, and that means nothing about the career that's in front of this kid because he has the ability, and it was finally run the football. We're going to, you know, not let him just get killed back there. I did see still some 5-man protections, and on those things, what happened to Justin Fields? He still got smashed. So please, coach, get rid of that type of stuff. You can't block them. Try to run the ball and do those things. But Fields, hey, I thought he was impressive enough to get the victory. But, you know, good for him, man. It was – I feel better about it. Here's a young player that has potential to be a superstar in the league. And, man, they finally – hey, we're going to try to help him. So it wasn't just Nagy personally doing something against the kid where he wouldn't have success like people have thought.
Well, for me, it's understanding your personnel, right? And listen, you know, people should maybe listen to you and kind of look at your resume. You not only, you know, brought in Mark Sanchez with the ground and pound, but, you know, it was because of your great defensive acumen and what you were able to do in Baltimore that we were able to survive and even carry Joe Flacco with the same recipe, right? The Bears have the same formula, right? They have a dominant defense. They have a top 10 defense, especially when you think about the personnel and the generational talent that is Khalil Mack. But, you know, sometimes these coordinators get too fancy and they want it to be about themselves. They don't understand the humility that it takes. You know, that's why I was always impressed with Brian Billick, right? Because here he is, a great offensive guru, got the job because he coached Randy Moss, Chris Carter, one of the most dominant offenses to ever play the game. And here he comes to Baltimore where, you know, it was all defensive running the ball. And he was humble enough to say, you know what, if this is how we got to win and this is what I inherited, this is how we're going to go about winning. You know, so sometimes these offensive coaches have to take a slice of humble pie and understand it ain't about you. It's about the end result. And you can't ruin this young kid too early in his career. They leaned on his defense. They forced two turnovers and they didn't beat themselves. Most games in this league aren't won. They're lost. And they're lost because teams make mistakes because they can't handle the pressure. Pressure busts pipes. We always say that. This kid played within himself, and you build his confidence up slowly. And you listen, these five-man protections is about ego, you know, still trying to sneak a play in there, understanding that all these young quarterbacks are Commodore 64s, and we right now are in the age of the super technology where things are fast. We got 5G, but they can't process that. They're Commodore 64s, Rex, and until these coaches admit that and accept it, they'll be better off as soon as they, you know, admit it to themselves and lean on the veterans on this team, man. But let's go to the Browns. Well, I don't want to skip over what happened, you know, with the Bills. I mean, the Bills. We call that a Pro Bowl game, right? You get all your Pro Bowl stats, and you know, Buffalo. I don't know. We're not talking about them because nothing sexy. They're just going about their business. But you know, next week, this week coming up, them against Kansas City. I think they will announce to the NFL that maybe it's not the Browns that are the front runners to dethrone Kansas City and be the favorite in AFC. Maybe, just maybe, it should be the Buffalo Bills. And I think next week is going to be a huge game that I'm excited about. What say you?
Hey, the Bills are who we thought they were. This is a complete football team. And look, they got back-to-back shutouts. When the heck has that happened? Like, this is – I mean, it's not just their offense that's been dominant. It's been their defense as well. And you're right. I think Buffalo is right where they want to be, laying in the weeds. All right. All they're doing is going out, kicking butt, and nobody's talking about them. And Bart, they put on a show against Kansas City, who's strictly a one-dimensional team. Offense only. Their defense stinks. I don't care. They give up 30 points again today against Philadelphia. Give me a break. Like, I'm telling you, this team, I will take Buffalo over Kansas City right now because they are a team that can play both sides of the ball equally well.
I mean, I know Patrick Mahomes is really excited that he's going to have Josh Gordon. I think that was a mission that really they need somebody opposite of Tariq Hill so that they can stretch the field so that if they get one-on-one on the backside, Harmon hasn't been getting the job done. Teams have found a way to take away Hill until today, of course, as they got back on track. But it'll be a little more difficult if Josh Gordon – I just don't know what he is, right? I understand what he was in 2013. I don't know what he is and what he's capable of doing, especially, you know, trying to figure out a new offense in short order. They seem impressed with him. You know, we'll see next week if he is able to contribute or they're able to work him in. But I don't think they get right against the Buffalo Bills. It could be another tough week for Patrick Mahomes and everybody else in company. But, you know, going to the other favorite within that division, you talk about the Browns. They win three straight. But, man, it was ugly. It was unimpressive. And I know you never apologize about a victory. But I think people are maybe underestimating the talent or the grit of this Minnesota team. They just can't find a way to get a win. But we just sat up here and we waxed poetic about how the Cardinals look so great. But, you know, they were down until the final kick. If it's, you know, if the idiot kicker can make a 37-yard field goal, then, you know, maybe Minnesota has a good win on their record. They held Cleveland down. Baker Mayfield was efficient, but he wasn't impressive to me. What do you think about this Cleveland team as far as, you know, Odell Beckham trying to get back right? Are you believing in them? They have the Chargers, right? They have the Chargers and they got the Cardinals in the next couple of weeks. Will we really get a real indication if this team's ready to take the next step or not?
Yeah, we absolutely will. But the thing I've been most impressed with, all right, there's two things that stand out. Obviously, the run game of Cleveland. That's the first thing that jumps out. But how about their defense? Their defense is people up. We saw what they did against the Bears, and that wasn't even a fair fight. That was cut. That was stopped on cuts after the first round. Like, this team, look, they've given up 7 points. They give up 7 points today. I mean, I'm sorry, but this is a heck of a performance by the Cleveland defense. And we all knew they had that kind of talent to be dominant. They're finally playing that way. So that makes this team extremely difficult. I get it. Baker Mayfield, people are going to be talking, you know, he stunk up the joint. No, he never stunk. He wasn't very good. He threw 50% completion, not even, no touchdowns. What the Cleveland can't do is sit back and say, we've got to get Baker to throw a touchdown pass. We got to do that. Look, just keep pounding the football and playing great defense. Those things will come. But if you put it in Baker's hand, you know, to be the difference, that's where Cleveland will make a mistake. So just keep winning ugly. It doesn't matter. A win's a win.
I tell you what, man, it's crazy, man, because you talk about teams and identity and DNA. We talk about that all the time. You know, it's just amazing to me on the Minnesota side that in a tight football game, they decided to throw the ball 38 times. You have a guy like Dalvin Cook, he only gets 9 carries, and Alexander Mattson gets 10 carries. You know, I just don't understand how sometimes coaches kind of forget what the DNA is and what they're supposed to be. But I tell you what, you know, listen, Zimmer's, I don't know if he should be on the hot seat, but this team looks like it's flatlining. It's kind of starting to decline. It's kind of had its peak a couple of years ago when it had the opportunities when they beat the Saints. But they're just not as dominant, and they're not just a contender like we think them to be. And on the defensive side of the ball, you know, they're getting better. Danielle Hunter is always going to be great. But I just think maybe these guys are getting long in the tooth, and, you know, Minnesota may have to consider making a change. Listen, we got to go to break right now, Rex. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the Cardinals and their dominance. And we'll have a little bit more for the 4 o'clock games with Organized Chaos. Rex Ryan, Bart Scott, back after this.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, joined by Rex Ryan. This is Organized Chaos. I don't know what edition it is, Rex. All I know is the next one is always the best one. Let's go to the 4 o'clock games and start with the total domination of Arizona Cardinals air raid. I don't know what you want to call it, but I tell you what, Arizona amassed 500 yards. The defense looks legit. I mean, we talk about styles make fights. Is this just a bad matchup for the Rams, or are the Rams pretenders? And maybe, just maybe, the Cardinals are the cream of the crop within this division.
Well, Bart, I mean, going into this game, I thought the Rams were the best team in the NFL because they have shown it. They just got through dominating a game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So they got to feel good. Both sides of the ball played well. But let's give Arizona the Cardinals credit and Cliff Kingsbury. Yes, that air raid offense, that had nothing to do with air raid offense. They pounded the heck out of the LA Rams, pounding the football, running the ball for over 200 yards in this, having over 500 yards of offense. I mean, you talk about impressive. And all the talk about Matt Stafford's the MVP of the league. Really? How about the other cat that was the quarterback over there, man? Kyler Murray? Shoot. Bart, how about that dude? How would you like to stop that guy? I mean, he's like, remember that little punt returner Kansas City had?
Darren Sproles. Well, Darren Sproles. Oh, Dante Hall. Yeah, he does look like Dante Hall because he's a little thick, right? He's a little thick in the waist.
He reminds me of Dante Hall, where it's like anytime he takes off with it, it's like, oh, shoot, we can't even touch this guy. But he's a dang quarterback doing this stuff. Like, it was so impressive. And don't kid yourself. The Rams still have some great players on defense. But, man, oh, man, I couldn't believe. Like, they almost, like, just threw the you know what's up and said, all right, you can, you know, whatever. Just, they just dominated in that game. Yeah, shocked by it. I thought it was going to be a great game. I thought it was going to be, you know, the scoreboard is going to light up, but the Rams didn't do their part. And the Cardinals showed that, hey, look, man, you know, we can play some defense too, and we get physical. It's not that finesse team you saw the first 3 or 4 years under Cliff Kingsbury. They could do it physically, And they show that today is what I thought, Bart.
You know what's crazy, Rex? That's kind of where I wanted to go with this, right? When you think about it, we talk about the dominated, we talk about Aaron Donald, we talk about Jalen Ramsey, we talk about Floyd, but we stopped there at three people. Now, when you go on the defensive side of the Cardinals, you've got J.J. Watt, who's not what he was, but you still have Buda Baker. You have Isaiah Simmons, who last year was supposed to be the Swiss Army knife. We thought that he would have the same effect on the defense that Michael Parsons has had for Dallas. But also you got Collins, Zaven Collins that they drafted. You talk about Marcus Golden, who's pretty good. And when you look at the personnel, just from a personnel standpoint, would you take the personnel from the Cardinals or would you take the personnel from the Rams as far as, defensive talent?
That's a hell of a question, man. I mean, because, look, you got Chandler Jones in there, too. But I still think the Rams, they have – when you have a player like Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, can you imagine? Give me a break.
So let's go back to that, right? Because I want to flush this out because this is crazy to me, right? Buda Baker is considered the best safety. Now, he's not a corner, but you've had Ed Reed, right? You've had a guy like Ed Reed, and you know how he can dominate a field and take away a whole half of a field, much like a corner can, a dominant corner. So is that a wash when you think about Chandler Jones and his ability and what he's done as far as the sacks wise compared to Aaron Donald? When you think about those matchups, what's the better twosome?
Yeah, I just think the better twosome is Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. But you're right. I mean, Chandler Jones and Buda Baker. Buda Baker, though, to me, that's more of just a headhunter, like a Cam Chancellor type guy. The body type is different. A Troy Polamalu type guy runs with his hair on fire, knocks everything over. He's not the ball hawk of an Ed Reed, but man, oh, man, is he physical. So I get your point, but Jalen Ramsey is so good. It reminds me a different style than Darrell Revis, but remember how we used to shut people down?
Yeah, absolutely.
You take the best one. This guy can do that, and then you have Aaron Donald. I think the biggest disappointment is how they let this team run right down their throat. And remember, they let a guy named Brockers go that went to Detroit.
Yeah.
And that was just so under the radar, no big deal, we lose this guy. Maybe it is a big deal.
It's crazy, right? Because you can have a Jalen Ramsey, but when you're Cliff Kingsbury, okay, you can take away DeAndre Hopkins. We're going to let A.J. Green eat. We're going to let Christian Kirk eat. We're going to let Rondell Moore eat. That's the problem. When you go against the Cardinals, one corner can't just take away everything. You need a couple of elite. You need Baltimore's type of personnel when they're able to put out, the three corners. I know Peters is hurt. But you need that type of personnel to be able to play the type of defense that you want to play when you talk about taking away guys one for one. So you just run out of guys, right? You run out of quality guys because at the end of the day, Arizona's fourth best receiver is going to eat against your fourth best corner defensive back. But, listen, we all understand, Rex, we've been on both sides of it. We've gotten our ass kicked by New England because they had a great game plan, and it didn't mean that they were better than us. That just means that they executed, they had the better game plan. Let's see if later on in the season when these teams face each other again, if they learn something from this loss. Because sometimes you can have good losses where you get enough intel about how the opposing team that you're playing goes against you and how they would like to work against you and seize your flaws and your weaknesses. But let's move on to, a game that was, to me, a sneaky good game, right? Because I didn't know, when you think about the personnel of what Teddy Bridgewater's meant, to the Denver Broncos walking in 3-0. Now, I know they've beaten the Jets and they played some pretty bad teams. But, did you expect the Ravens to come out and Lamar Jackson, when are we going to start giving him credit? Because, I know the stat came out last week about how he has more yards, he leads the league in yards per attempt, and also rushing yards as well. At what point are we going to start saying, hey, man, this guy is a passer, and kind of, dismiss that narrative that he can't beat you from the pocket?
Well, I think Lamar Jackson is improving in leaps and bounds as a passer. So we've seen it. Look, the week before, he gets no credit, but they dropped three touchdowns, as we talked about. But this Denver Bronco team, people that thought they were coming in, and they were favored or as a pick 'em game, and I'm like, what? I talked to my brother during the week, and he goes, we're going to beat the hell out of this team. And Teddy two gloves. He goes, we'll knock his gloves off. And they did.
They scrambled his biscuit, Rex. That's what they did. As he, he had to exit with the head injury. And here comes Locke, and we know what that story is going to end once we saw him come in.
Yeah, no, exactly. And Denver's calling timeouts to try to score, you know, just to make it look good or something, you know, with Drew Lock throwing a touchdown pass. Oh, intercepted. That was awesome. The Ravens, they only had like 96 yards rushing. So they get the ball back with like 10 seconds left, right? They clearly won the game 20-whatever to 7. And so they're just going to kneel it down. No. They said they gave the ball to Lamar on a quarterback sweep. He gets the 5 yards that they need. So now the streak of 100-yard rushing thing, they tied in NFL record. I thought it was poetic justice trying to call timeout with that Drew Lock that's so bad and always bad. But it's like
you got to love the petty, Rex, right? Don't you have to love the petty? You have to love the petty. You have to love Harbaugh saying, listen, we got something good going. We're going to keep this thing going, and we don't care what you feel about it. And Big Banjo was in the family, right? He was in those buildings. He was in those walls, and he understands what they were doing and why they were doing it. So I think he didn't take any offense to it. Rex, I tell you what, man, going on to the Pittsburgh Steelers-Green Bay game, listen, I think we all anticipated that maybe this was going to be a tough one for Ben. You know, I know that, you know, Damian Woody said that he was washed. I don't think that Ben is washed. I just think they have to do a much better job running the ball and playing defense and winning boring and winning ugly, right? It's like, you know, what I always say about playing quarterback, you know, twice a child, once a baby, right? So when Ben came in, he won because he had a great running game and a great defense. And then he was able to take the team and put it on his shoulders and win because of his arm, his legs, and his football acumen. But now he's back to being a baby again. Right. And they have to understand who he is and what he's capable of. I mean, I think, you know, it was a round of applause because late in the game, he completed his second pass over 10 yards or air yards. Right. Yeah. At this point, he's checked down Charlie, but they can win, but they have to be far more dominant on the defensive side of the ball. Like, do you think that, you know, Mike Tomlin is in danger of the first time in his illustrious Steelers career of potentially having a losing season?
Oh, there is no question. There is no question he's in danger of, because Ben might not be completely washed up, but let's face it. I mean, he's old and slow, can't take the hits. If I'm going to watch the Pittsburgh Steelers check the ball down on fourth and whatever, I don't care if it's 5, 6, 10, whatever, and the ball goes short of the sticks, and you expect your running back to get 8 yards on a play, it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I'm like, is it somebody needs to hit the dang offensive coordinator head and say, hey, wait a second, we need 5 yards here. They do it over and over, and guess what? They can't hold the ball long because Ben, that offensive line stinks. So when I does Ben stink? Yeah, right now.
Way to take the gray out of it, Rex. Way to take the gray out of it.
Is garbage. I mean garbage. And I'm watching this left tackle try to block, and I'm like, but the poor Ben, I mean – I get it. He's not the same guy he once was, but give him a chance at least, for God's sakes.
I tell you, man, I was believing in this team. You know, I still believe. Before I jump off the bus, you know what I mean, I'm going to be a little bit more loyal, at least for another week or so. If it gets nasty, I'm going to have to finally take my first L as far as my predictions. Most of my predictions are still alive, but early on, I'm a little nervous and shaky about the Pittsburgh Steelers and, you know, maybe being the second best team, or maybe Cleveland not making a postseason. So I hold on to that one. But, you know, finally, like one of the last games in the 4 o'clock hour was, you know, Seattle and, you know, and the 49ers and on schedule, right? Jimmy G, the calf injury, enter Trey Lance. You talk about Seattle, you know, having over, you know, 220 yards. Russell Wilson saying he's not going to panic. It wasn't pretty. I mean, Russell Wilson only threw for 149 yards, but it was enough to win. And this game was not as close as it may seem. Understanding how do they go forward with Trey Lance, and how do they get this running game on par? Because I think that's the biggest disappointment. I mean, Kyle Shanahan was supposed to be like the guru when you talk about that whole Shanahan one cut Denver system. You know, it's really been disappointing so far when you talk about, you know, what they've been able to do. We expect them to be more dominant. I know they got close, they got over 100 yards, but, you know, we don't expect Debo Samuel, I know baby Debo, to be, you know, receiving for 156 yards. They need some other people to come to the party, and this is a tough loss for them. 2-2 within a division now, and we already believe that they both have to play the Rams and they got to play the Cardinals in this division. You know, this team, this division is going to feed off each other.
Yeah, it is, Bart. But remember, you talked about, you said this statement before, you know, how matchups there's a big difference, man. And this one right here always favors Seattle, it seems like. For whatever reason, Seattle has San Francisco's number. Now, look, today, if you look at the numbers, they totally got outplayed, all right, at 220 more yards for San Francisco than Seattle. However, the turnovers told the story. They had a big lead, and they hung on. That's all that matters. I will say this. Trey Lance had his moments in this game now. Holy cow, did that kid look impressive. Not as much throwing the football, but what he did scrambling. It reminded me a little bit of Cam Newton.
Like, did he remind you of Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, maybe. And you know what? That's a great comparison, because how different is it going to be that, remember, Alex Smith was a good quarterback, and yeah, then Colin Kaepernick came in. They worked him in a little bit. All of a sudden, it became where Colin Kaepernick was the better player. Is it going to happen again in San Francisco? It may very well.
I mean, they wanted it to happen like this. That's why they drafted them, but they wanted it to happen naturally. And listen, you know, they don't have to make any excuses. It's going to come down. Listen, this season is going to be a battle of attrition as we talk about some of the guys. Like, shout out to – well, not shout out because he's not my boy like that, but Carson Wentz, you know, battling through the ankles and being able to stay, you know, out there for his team as they get a much-needed win. Now, they're you know, finally got their first W, and they can move on, and maybe they can, you know, battle and figure things out. You know, for me, what's the interesting thing about this season is, you know, the teams that have to deal with adversity early on in the season. Because, you know, everybody that's looking, and you better take advantage of it, because we all know that the adversity is going to come to every team this year. And, you know, it's going to be who can deal with it. Because, listen, this is going to be a battle of attrition. This, you know, people may not realize this extra game means a lot. And guys aren't able to practice, so their pads aren't set. They don't have those calluses set. So, you know, it's going to come down to last man standing and how many of your good players you are able to retain.
Yeah, and Bart, how many times will we talk about it in our meetings and all that, that we're going to need every single person in that meeting room? And that included your developmental players, guys that weren't even on your active roster, that you have to call up and plug in. And you're right, that 17th game, we're going to see that, and it's a true statement. And so we'll see who are the teams that have the depth this year. I think that whoever has the deepest bench is going to have a huge advantage, especially with the 17-game schedule.
You know, how active do you think these guys need to be when they make sure that they're going and getting guys on their practice squad? Le'Veon Bell was activated off the practice squad. You're talking about some of the other guys. Teams are starting to load up with veterans. Marlon Mack's out there. And I think, listen, if he's out there and there's an opportunity that, you know, the Colts want to move him, I think if you're a team like the Rams, you know, you go out and get this guy. This guy is a very, very good running back and very sudden. And if this guy's out there, I think you have to make moves and be transactional early in the season while guys want to get rid of guys before. Like, if you need a receiver, yeah, it seems like, you know, the Jets have an issue with Mims. I believe that Mims is a good receiver. He's young. He's fast. You can't teach 6'2", 6'3", 4'3", 40. And if they're disgruntled, he was up today, and he only played four snaps, and three of them was runs. So I think, hey, guys got to be active, and general managers got to be active early while they can get guys, while they're feeling good, and replace players. You saw it happen in Jacksonville and with the Panthers, you know, sending the tight end down there. I think teams ought to be more active, because this is going to be a battle of attrition, man, and you got to get as many soldiers as you can get.
Well, Bart, remember, you're talking specifically about the Rams and their running back. I mean, they already traded for Sony Michel, so they tried to do that. Could you use another body? Yeah, absolutely. But, you're right. The scouting departments are going to be critical also. There's no question about it. And before that trade deadline comes up, it's going to be interesting on who tries to add certain pieces.
Tell you what, Rex, it's never too early to look ahead just a little bit. You know, understand that, you know, we want to eat our dessert before we actually eat our vegetables. But you got next week, you got the Rams on a short week against Seattle in division. That should be a great one. It always gives the advantage. I always give 3 points to the team that's at home. You got the Bills and the Chiefs, and you have the Colts and the Ravens. Are you excited about that? Well, of course you're excited about that, because those are great football games. You know, we had to endure the Bengals and the Jaguars, which didn't turn out to be a dud. But, you know, these are the games that we really look for.
Yeah, no, you're right. And let's face it, we got a hell of a, you know, that ESPN's Monday Night Football Week 4 matchup. Raiders against the Chargers. that's going to be a hell of a matchup too. You got the Raiders 3-0 against the Chargers 2-1. That's going to be a great game. So I'm looking forward to that. Those three games that you talked about next week, Bart, are going to be huge. And then finishing out this week on Monday night with that Raider Charger game, like, who the heck do you think is going to win that one? I mean, the Chargers look super impressive, and the Raiders find ways. I get it, two games into overtime and things, but, I mean, shoot, they're 3-0, so that ought to be a hell of a game too.
Well, Rex, let's get our popcorn ready. I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan. This is Organized Chaos Podcast. Rex and I will be dropping new podcasts. It's each and every weekend of the NFL season until the Super Bowl Sunday. You also get to catch me weekdays at 12 to 3 on the Bart and Hahn Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. You can catch Rex Ryan every Sunday on NFL Countdown and Monday mornings on Get Up. Thanks for listening again. We'll see you knuckleheads next week.
Thanks for listening to Organized Chaos. Check back for new episodes every Monday morning all season long, wherever you get your podcast.